Well, friends, what a great opportunity now as you get a hold of your Bible. And I trust you don't happen to have the Bible. If you take your hand up and say, I'd like to use one of the Hope Chapel's Bible, we'd be welcome. Or electronic app, you'll see in the bulletin, is the Wi-Fi that you can connect and go online. But just keep that hand up and we'll make sure that we get a Bible in your hand. We certainly, and if you don't happen to have a Bible at home, feel free to take that home with you. We really want to make sure that we get those Bibles there. So they're going to look for hands. I see some hands up. Thank you for that. I'm sorry. And in the meantime, if you'll take your bulletin as well, in the back of the bulletin are today's outline. Today's outline, because we're hoping you'll get a chance to write down those notes that you might need, those aspects of what you're wanting to see or experience. Don't anticipate kind of remembering it. It helps to write, because as you write it down, then you can kind of think about what's the next thought that the Lord might show or give you. So, way to go, everyone. We are in a series we just began last week. That series is Learning to Listen. Learning to Listen series. Learning to listen to or for God's voice. Learning to listen for God's will. And so we'll be taking a look at God's will in a little bit, but today, listening for God's voice. And as we begin, as you know, we always like to start with a little bit of funny. So a little bit of funny about listening. This 92-year-old man was not feeling very good, so he went into the doctor's. Well, a couple of days later, that doctor saw that same elderly gentleman walking down the sidewalk with a very beautiful lady by his side. And the doctor said, "My Fred, you look really good." He said, "Well, doctor, I just took your marching orders and did exactly what you said. You told me to get a hot mama and to be cheerful." He said, "Fred, I didn't say that. I told you you had a heart murmur and to be careful." It's all what you hear. All what you hear. But we want to take a look here because we're looking at today's message. It's entitled Keys to Hearing God's Voice. Keys to Hearing God's Voice. And we're looking at the points of reference that we finished off with last time in Habakkuk. But before you find Habakkuk, and you can, it's just toward the end of the Old Testament, I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. That's in the New Testament. So if you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. If I were to ask a group of people, what's the greatest thing in life? And that's fun if you've ever been in a life group and you just kind of get perspectives from people, what they think is the greatest thing in life. And it, as diverse as people are, you'd probably get different answers. But for Christians, Christians should always answer, the greatest thing in my life is knowing God. And I want to just talk to you a little bit about knowing God. What is important is the aspect of God who's wanting to reveal himself to you, to know God. Look what the Apostle Paul said. I've asked you to open to Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 8. He says this, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." The Apostle Paul is saying this, I want to know God. That's my heart's desire. Now, please understand, he's not just saying, I'm at the low end of my life, therefore I need to kind of pick things up. This man has very highly educated. He's at the elite of the religious order. He's an accomplished man. He has traveled the known world. He's saying this decades removed from his conversion to Christ. He's not just saying this is at the beginning of my life. Man, I want to know God. Look at verse 10. It says, that I may know him. That I may know him. The Apostle Paul was saying everything else, regardless of what this world has to offer, whatever achievements that's out there, whatever pursuit of any man, when it comes to knowing God, it's like manure. That's what he's saying. I want to know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. That's an amazing statement. What a delight for any of us to say, man, I want to know the Lord. We're taking a look at learning to listen. The first on the matrix of listening, remember that? Our listening matrix? What was the first step? Letter A, it was the stop running. Remember that? Stop running. Sometimes we can be so busy, oh, God will understand, I don't have time to be with Him. Or for others, we're running from God's will. Matter of fact, we're in a point of disobedience. We can't hear from the Lord. Stop running. That old program called the prodigal son, when he came to his senses, stop running. For us, sometimes you might say, man, I haven't heard from the Lord. I'd like to know God, but I haven't heard from Him in a while. What was the last thing that God told you to do? Let's go all the way back. And let's consider that, because let's bring everything current on accounts. What was the thing you remember God told you to do? It's like, no, I'm not going to do that. See, I want to know God. It's going to take some time. In other words, spending some time, because God does want you to know Him, to experience Him. The Apostle Paul went on to the Ephesians Christians in Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go to the left if you're still there in Philippians. Just go to the next book to the left, Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 18. Look what he's praying that these believers will experience. May be able, he says, to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If you just take a moment, oh, there are people who are born again. There's more to it than just entering salvation. There are people that are going to receive Christ. They will go to heaven when they die, but they won't know God. They'll know God once they get there. Wouldn't it be great to say, man, I want to know Him? The Apostle Paul, decades removed from his salvation, I still want to know Him. And as you and I take a look and say, man, listening, spending time with God to know Him, He comes along and says, wow, how about the height, the length, the depth, the width of the love of God? To know just the love of God. It says something that's kind of interesting here in Ephesians 3, because it only seems confusing, because it says, surpasses knowledge. But what he's actually saying is, when it comes to the tangible education, the intellectual knowledge of our society, in comparison to knowing the love of God, there's no comparison. That's what he's saying. Do you know the love of God? Because see, what happens to a person, they start to have all the fullness of God. You might say, hey, do you have that fullness? Is that happening in your life? Is there a beautiful experience that is really marking the occasion of your life? Or is there something else that's kind of coming on in there? Usually there is. There's always something competing for yours and my attention. But to know the love of God, how do we get there? Well, moving to know that love of God straight into the ability to communicate with the Lord. When we were together, we recognized this, that God is a spirit. John 4:24. So God's going to communicate to you through His Spirit to your spirit. It's not going to be a voice to your ear. It's not going to be a face-to-face thing. His Spirit to your spirit, an impression, a thought. Sometimes you can think, wow, that's my idea. Is it? Is it? Because God's going to speak to your spirit. And we were looking at the book of Habakkuk. The prophet Habakkuk came up with some great keys to being able to hear when God starts to speak. Because I want to know Him. I'm hoping that one of the greatest things in your life is, man, I want to know Him too, regardless of how long I've lived and walked with Him. Let's go to the book of Habakkuk. You'll find it in the Old Testament. If you found Matthew, keep going to the left. It seems like we're moving to the left here. But Habakkuk is the fifth book before you end the Old Testament. So you'll see Malachi is the last book. Keep moving on over there. And there's Zechariah, then Haggai a little bit further, Zephaniah, then finally Habakkuk. You'll find it right there. We're going to chapter 2. It's listed there on our notes. Let's take a look at that. Now, this book opens with some real gloom. The prophet Habakkuk is seeing things that are happening in his city and in his nation. He's a contemporary guy. He's dealing with issues that we deal with. Why? For example, he's wrestling with, if God is so good, why is there evil? And in particular, if God is so good, why does evil things happen to good people? That's what he's wanting to ask. And the first two chapters of this three-chapter book starts with two conversations between him and God. You could actually say the first chapter is, okay, look at the turmoil, look at the trial. The second, God's going to say, now I want you to trust me. And the third is triumph. It opens up that third chapter where there's a praise going on, saying, Lord, I see it. I see it. So when we deal with this, let's look at verse 1. I'm in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. What a familiar passage, because in this, the Apostle Paul takes this phrase and uses it in a number of books as he's writing to the church in that New Testament order. The just shall live by faith. So as we prepare ourselves to listen to the voice of God, because we want to know him. No, we're not just talking about, man, I just want to know how to kind of put things together a little bit better in my life. He'll show you. He'll show you. And in the takeaway will be, you'll get to know God in the process. But let's look at what Habakkuk, number one, stillness. Quiet yourself, our points say, so that you can hear God's voice. He says, I will stand my watch. Be quiet. Remember we said stop running? I don't know if you're interested in just trying to eliminate the distractions, but find that quiet place so that you can kind of focus and say, I think God's going to be speaking to me. I want to find the most quiet environment I possibly can. Got to be careful, because there are some times we'll just say, well, I'm going to pray, and we'll multitask. We'll have our little Bible card on the dashboard as we're driving to work, maybe listen to a couple of Christian broadcastings going on, or play our Christian CD. That's good. That might motivate you. Man, I want to know him. I want to know him. And so as we look here, it's important. Remember, the just shall live by faith. Where does it all begin? In John chapter 3, verse 6, when Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you're going to get anything from God, you've got to remember, I've got to be in that place where the Holy Spirit is going to start to speak to me. When the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, and you may want to write it down, chapter 2, verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They are foolishness to him, it says. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So if you are so pumped and excited about the things of God, and you go sharing, hey, you know what? This is what God's doing in my church or in my life. This is what I heard today. And those friends or family are just natural people. They're not going to get it. You know that. You know that. You've seen that. Sometimes we can even have that contradiction, say, well, maybe it's not that important to me either, because somebody's lack of reaction. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness to him. Neither can they know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Be still and wait. God's going to speak. He's going to speak to your spirit. God is spirit. So it's important when you are genuinely saying, man, I've got to spend my time with the Lord. It's important for us. The physical senses cannot discern spiritual things. You will not. Now, God's sometimes very kind. He will let people see angels and He'll let people see heaven. But overall, when God communicates to you, it's going to be to your spirit. You must be careful. Physical senses cannot detect spiritual things. Watch out how your eyes are looking for something you can see or feel, the manifestations. And here we have Habakkuk saying, I need to hear from Him. I need that rhema word. Let's look at number two. How about vision? Second point, we say, man, I got to station myself and I want to hear from the Lord. Vision, he says this. Look for vision as you pray. He says, I'm going to watch to see how and what God might say. Those old days when you started off your Christian journey and you thought prayer was all about talking to God, and then you hope He heard you, and then He listened to you, and you're hoping He'll respond. That's not a communion with God. That's kind of a dictation. Now there's a time He may want to speak to you. Be careful about that. So for you or I who say, well, I just want to experience God's presence, we come to that point. There are those times in a Christian's life where they experience disappointment because they're thinking and believing in an unrealistic way that they need a constant, tangible manifestation of God's presence. See, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You have to be careful because the Lord loves to come to you in very subtle ways, very soft and sometimes unassuming ways. Those subtle ways will come. Remember how He entered this world? I mean, there wasn't much of a fanfare. There was no announcement to Caesar, the Messiah is born. There was no declaration to Herod the Great. There was a proclamation in the night sky to angels. But really, a lot of people missed it that day when Jesus entered in. See, that's the way God comes. The just will live by faith. When He's coming to you, you'll get disappointed and say, man, I just need to have the Shekinah glory come. That's why I don't come into maybe a group prayer because it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Come on! The just shall live by faith. See, you and I get disappointed saying, well, I remember this one time, man, we drew the shades, we dropped the lights, we put on this black light, a little bit of strobe, and I really felt God. I need to recreate that environment. But the just shall live by faith. See, when Isaiah prophesies what Jesus' physical form would be like, Isaiah 53, verse 2, said that He had no form nor comeliness in which we shall see Him, and there was no beauty with which we should desire Him. Which means Jesus was nothing to really look at on this planet. People walked right past Him. If He was down on Main Street, He probably would not have had any clothes that drew attention to Him. You would not have even recognized that was Jesus until He spoke and He realized, whoa, no man ever spoke like this before. So there's nothing about Jesus that caused nothing extraordinary. Even when He is crucified and 3 days resurrected, we're talking about just the manifestation. People are saying, man, I need something big from God when I come before Him. That's maybe not the way He's going to come to you. He's going to speak to your spirit. I would have thought after 3 days and He resurrects, it would have been very good. He kind of like paraded into Jerusalem. Well over 3,000 people watching Him die. Wouldn't it be great to say, hey, I'm back. Where did He and who did He appear to? People that already believed in Him. See, the Lord Jesus, who wants to come and talk to you, you might miss Him. You might miss Him because the just shall live by faith. You want to know God, He's ready to reveal Himself to you. He wants to. Now, wouldn't it be nice that God would help some of us a little bit? I think, for example, he would send a parrot to land on your shoulder and whisper every 3 hours, God loves you. God, wouldn't that be great? Oh, yeah, I don't think God loves me. God loves you. Oh, thank you. God doesn't love me. Why would he love me? God loves you. Oh, thank you, parrot. That's a sign from God. Don't you love that? Or there'd be other ways with which he does that, or God would just kind of write in the clouds. He could do that, you know. He could do that. It's not his style, but he could write in the cloud, you need to go this way at 10 o'clock. Is that his way? Or send angels to affirm? See, the point being, you got to catch God in the way that he approaches. He does want to come. But the just shall live by faith. See, when sight comes to us and we see something, man, praise God, when there's an answer. But you who are waiting for some phenomenon, something to happen that's big, be careful about that. Faith is far superior than feeling. You who are still into feeling, you can equate it like genuine love versus lust. See, lust comes along and it's much more common and easy to come by. Lust is very easy to come by, but it's not true love. And faith is much more power and potent. Feelings are easy to come by, much more common. And you who are saying, well, God's got to do it and work it so that I feel something from him. Sometimes it may not be. I love it when he shows up and I feel something, but the just shall live by faith. Faith is something that's real, tangible. Number three, listening. Recognizing God's voice as spontaneous thoughts that come upon your mind. Habakkuk says, what he will say to me. So, since we know that God does not speak from a voice to your ear, it's going to give you an impression. A thought, something, tell you to step out, move forward. I remember when I was very early on, 20 years of age, had my first apartment all by myself, kind of really a lukewarm Christian. I was still growing weed in my apartment, but I wanted God so desperately. I was grateful for that little four-square church, and I had a conflict going on. And I said, Lord, I need you to speak to me. I remember on a Saturday, it was my day off, working the print shop, watching a football game, and I heard, no, it was an impression. Lord says, go to Covina Park, I lived in Covina, and tell somebody about me. Now, I did not want to do that. It took me some time. Seriously, I do not. This is my day. I will do that on Sunday, because that's when Christians do stuff like that, right? And I felt so uncomfortable on that couch, relaxing. Have you ever had that impression? Go tell somebody. Go pray for that person. Your neighbor needs to hear from you now. Get up. Get up. No, that can't be God. I'll do it on Sunday. That's when Christians go out and do that stuff. I ended up going. And a little flea market, a little fair was going on, a little booze. Everybody's busy. Everybody's shopping. And I didn't want to be rude. I'm nervous enough. And I see this one man out on the picnic table, lone picnic, sitting on top of the table. I said, well, he looks like he has time to listen to me. And I walk over there. So happened he was a guy just released from jail. He was lost and hurting, and I led him to Jesus. That so encouraged me that maybe that was the Lord. Besides, I was not going to get anything out of that football game. Lounging on the couch. Have you been there? Have you had those impressions? Have you seen and heard and listened to God's voice that way? Has there been a time that you said, no, that's not, I'll do that on Sunday? Then you may want to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to know you. I want to know you. But I'm putting you into a little jar that fits. And I'm not hearing anything lately. Stop running. Quiet myself. And listen. So we take a look. Faith is the real substance. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hope for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So faith actually is a substance. It's not like some people might say. People think faith is acting like something is so, so when it really isn't so, but eventually it becomes so. No, no, faith is a real thing. It's a real thing. You believe the Word of God's real? You believe God's real? I believe. Have you seen God? No. Is He real? Yes. That's a substance. And the just live by unseen realities. Let's move and let's do that. It's kind of like your television set, right? Television waves are floating through the sanctuary here. We just know by faith they're here. Television programming's going through. Electronics, download, all the elements that are available. You just have to have the right programming or equipment. If you ever had your television go blank, you start checking connections, see the circuit, see the box, see if the electricity's on. You don't call the provider and say, hey, I'm going to cancel unless you get this thing up and running. You check the reception. It's the same with God. God always speaks 24/7. He is wanting to speak to you. If you're not hearing from Him, do like you would with your television. Check the reception. It's never God the transmitter. It's always having to do with us. Well, fourth and finally, journaling. Look what God tells him. Write down the flow of thoughts and pictures. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Friends, please do that. When you sit down, anticipate the Lord's going to speak to you. See, that's a part of faith. You don't bring something to write, you're not thinking you're going to get anything. So, man, let's just do our religious duty, a little curtsy, maybe a little holy, and off we go. But if you think God's going to speak to you, bring a tablet, bring an electronic. I love my electronic Bible. I've got my notes now. I write it down so I can move on to the next thought, because if I don't write it down, I keep focusing in on that thought, and I'm not prepped for the next. It's the same with a busy schedule, isn't it true? I can't pray because I'm thinking about the responsibility at school or at work. I can't think. Why don't you write down, God's going to do something, and pray about that, and I'll move on to what He's going to say. But write the vision down. Because when you see it again, you're going to run it. You're going to run the race. It's amazing how God starts to work in that area. Well, let's take a look here. What does God's voice sound like? Discerning the three voices in your life. Because there's always three voices that come at you. God's voice, demonic voices, and your voice. So I made it very easy for you so that you'll always remember, because people are a little nervous about spending time with God because they think, man, I know we all feel elements of insecurity. There's not one of us. It doesn't take much of us to crush somebody's spirit. But God's not into that. So when God speaks, you can see it's always redemptive. You'll hear Him say, it's going to be okay. Trust me on this. You will hear the loving voice of the shepherd. That's the voice that if you're not familiar with, you'll go with the other two below. And demonic voice will come along. It's always condemning. That same voice that caused you to succumb to that temptation to do that violation of sin will also start speaking to you condemning thoughts. God's not going to forgive you. You've done that so many times today, He'll never get you free from that. You're just excluded from any victory. We don't feel worthy to pray or talk to anybody about you. I mean, those are condemning voices. We have to be careful. Because then we start to become the voice, the mouthpiece for those condemning thoughts. Don't do that. Don't do that. And the third voice is our voice. And how can you tell if it's you or God or the devil? It's always selfishness. I need, I want, I demand. Back to me on the couch on a Saturday, I wanted to finish that football game. I was in a battle for about 2 hours. I was determined to see the end of that game. And myself says, I deserve this. I work hard. Let somebody else do it. That may not be God. It was God. And it was my voice challenging God. Your voice is selfish. You are selfish. I need, I demand. Just check how many times you use the word I in your sentences. So we give voice to that as well. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, I want to just bring a reminder here. We need to recognize that God isn't angry at mankind anymore. Please remember that. Let's get time with God. God is not angry with mankind. Remember when the angels announced His arrival, Luke 2:14, and they said, "This is good news, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men." It was saying not that the eradication of war, but that there's now peace between you and God. Peace between you and God. You have peace between you and God. That's through Jesus. He's the mediator. We have a mediator. In the Old Testament, there was no mediator, and the wrath of God, the anger of God, came down on individuals or nations. But if you'll catch what I'm saying, you have peace with God. Jesus took the wrath and the anger and the justice on Himself so that you can be at peace. You can hear God. You can enjoy the Lord. You should enjoy the Lord. 1 John 2:2 says that He is the propitiation. He was the placement of our sins, and not only for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So I'm so glad. Isn't that great? That we have Jesus Christ. Talk to God. Let Him talk back to you. And finally, I want to just add, take a look at Lamentations. You can see what is God's message all about. You take a look, it's on the PowerPoint. Let's look at it together. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is good. The portion, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in Him. And the Lord is good to those who what? The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. To the soul who what? Therefore, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Every morning, you can have a great experience with the Lord. I want to just highlight that as we close our Bibles and just let's stand and let's enter into this song and allow the Lord to just even start to speak to us. Those things that He has preserved and prepared and probably already presented to us right now.
Thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.
friends, I want to pray for you now. It's interesting. I felt even when I did my notes just to say, what is God's message? And just feel like God wants to remind all of us, don't fear Him. He's not one to bring terror to your life. That's not His doing. He gave Jesus, Romans 8 says. How much more so will He give Him you all things? But I listed three things that He wants to communicate to you, and you'll hear that He's real. He wants you to know that. Real in your life, real in events, real in situations. And not only that, that He wants to let you know that He created you to have relationship with Him. He wants that to happen. And second point is, He just wants to express His love to you. His love to you. 2,000 years ago, He came just for that. Emmanuel, God with us. He's looking for that. And the third point, it's always a given, is that He just wants to let you know His agenda is He wants people to be prepared and to accept His Son as your personal Savior so that you can have eternity with Him in heaven. Eternity. God's all about that. So it's important that we get ourselves ready. And as you just close your eyes right now, and those of you who are watching via live stream, if you're here this morning, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. Would you consider doing that now? Is the Lord speaking to you? Is the Lord speaking to you? It's the beginning of a great way. You say, I am ready to give my life to the Lord. Would you just raise your hand and just put it right down? Just put it down so I can see and say, I'm ready to give my life to the Lord. Okay? Or presenting yourself because you know you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Just go ahead and put that hand up as well. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Go ahead and put that hand down. Anyone else? Okay? Very important. We're glad when the Lord speaks to us. I never get alarmed when somebody says, man, I continue to be sorrowful over this sin. I keep asking God to forgive me. I'm so glad that that's their heart, because that tells me they're hearing from God. The person that's never repented since 1968, I get a little nervous. They're not hearing from the Lord, but you are. So for the sake of these five hands, let's all pray this prayer of just surrendering our life to Him afresh. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Savior of the world, that You died for me and rose to life for me as well. And I invite You now, Jesus, to come into my life, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I'm going to trust You, Lord. I want to live by faith and know You. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for you who raised your hand, or even possibly did not raise your hand, or even watching live stream. Could you just hit that link that just says, I've committed my life to God, getting connected, or you who are here, we'd love to be better acquainted. And at our welcoming table, we have a Bible, and now that you're a Christian, it's very important to us to get us all, once again, moving in a direction toward Jesus. I think that's His heart's desire. Do you hear that in the message loud and clear? It's all about you and God. It's all about you and God. Now let me pray off that blessing and let you enjoy that experience with friends or family, or even a quiet time just on the shoreline there. It'd be perfect. So, Father, as we head on out, Lord, we know You go before us. You're within us. And You're covering our very steps. And for those who presented their lives to You, however You're working in their life, Lord, You know. You know. And we now want to know You. We want to experience You. Not so much what You could do for us, but, Lord, who are You? And what are You about to do that's great in each one of our lives? Let that be a reality this week in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, everyone. God bless you. Thanks for coming. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.